Chapter 16.
Very surgical, Lieutenant. Captain Evelyn studied the image on the screen ahead. Magnified so that it appeared much closer than it was, the enemy patrol vessel, an Imperial-style triangle, narrowed at the base to the proportions of an ancient arrowhead, slowly spun in place. Sheets of sparks resembling flame jetted from its stern section. In mid-spin, its thrusters still on full, the vessel was maneuvering in an ever-widening spiral pattern, clearly out of control. Its shields were still up, but it offered no return fire.
I think they're helpless.
The communications officer, a gray-skinned Duros, with large, emotionless eyes, turned her way.
They're hailing us.
Put him on.
The image that replaced the view of the vessel suggested that things were at least as bad as Evelyn had anticipated. The other vessel's bridge was dim with smoke. No bridge crew members remained other than Hocroft, who stood at the communications officer station. He had sustained a minor injury. A rivulet of blood trickled down from his scalp at his hairline and smeared his right cheek. His voice was icy.
Well, that was unpleasant.
As I was saying, heave to and prepare to be boarded.
I can't, you carking idiot! My engines were hit. They're on runaway. My engineering crew is all dead. I can't stop. Which I take it will be justification enough for you to continue firing until we're all dead.
His voice turned bitter.
All those boys and girls. Was this really necessary?
Drop your deflectors and I'll hold my fire until you figure out a way to heave to. Or we decide to shut down your runaway engines by destroying them completely. But if your deflectors come up, if just one of your weapon systems begins to track us, if you resume a level course without immediately coming to a full stop, there won't be enough of your craft left to fill a refresher store.
Understood.
Hocroft stepped to the center console and hit a couple of buttons. Evelyn's sensor officer nodded at her and made a lowering hand gesture, indicating that the enemy's deflectors were down.
I'm going aft.
Hocroft blotted his scalp wound with his sleeve.
I can initiate a compartmental self-destruct that will destroy the engine safely. Then I'll be back here to use the maneuvering thrusters to stop us. Give me 10 minutes.
5.
Hocroft glared. Without bothering to shut off the holocam view, he turned and strode from the bridge. The bridge door snapped open for him, snapped closed behind him, leaving Evelyn with her view of the smoke-filled bridge. Evelyn glanced at her communications officer.
Instruct the others to hold back. We'll pace the target and stay close. We'll signal when we want the others to close. Tell Shieldbreaker to stand by to pick up prisoners, and tell our boarding shuttle to stand by to launch.
Aye, aye.
Evelyn paused.
Have any of you ever heard of a compartmental self-destruct?
She got only silence and the shaking of heads in reply. Heading aft to Concussor's belly bay, Bindi answered Terman's latest question.
The Pollinate Command did a bunch of things. Locked down the shuttle bay so crewmates couldn't enter. Slaved the escape pod's launchability to our comlinks. Disabled their comm systems.
She, Terman, Jesmyn, and Vort passed one emergency pod bay. Its exterior door and the pod door within were both closed, sealed. The Wraiths could see crew members within pounding frantically on the doors and viewport. As the Wraiths passed, the crew redoubled their efforts and shouted words the Wraiths could not hear. Bindi went on.
So when Five issued the abandoned ship order, the crewmates packed into the pods, which sealed them in tight, trapping them inside pending our issuing the launch command.
Jesmyn sounded suspicious.
Which we are going to do, yes?
Yes.
They think they're about to die.
Terman's voice held a note of sympathy. It was at odds with his Commander Hocroft disguise.
They're not.
The Wraiths reached the shuttle bay doors, which stood open. Trey was visible through the shuttle's forward viewports, clearly going through a pre-flight checklist. Bindi ran up the shuttle's boarding ramp, the footsteps of the other Wraiths clanging up behind her. Scut was not in the passenger compartment. Bindi went forward to the cockpit.
Where's Six?
Trey glanced at her.
Fuel it, Max! He's staying in the Ark's bridge until the last possible second. He says that if he patches everything through to our cockpit, he can't be sure it will all work.
Bindi sat in the co-pilot seat and strapped herself in.
Two, We need you to come up and pretend to fly this thing in case they get a holocam image of the bridge.
Movement on the other side of the bay drew her eye. Vort, awkward, had climbed on top of the one remaining interceptor and raised its topside boarding hatch. He was now clambering down into the cockpit.
What's he doing?
Trey shrugged.
Saving us a resource? Checklist complete, by the way.
Terman came forward and took the pilot's chair.
Saving us a resource and providing us cover.
Bindi reached for her comlink, then thought better of it. Any calmed message at this point might be overheard by the Starhook. She couldn't order Vort to the shuttle, so she'd have to trust his judgment. Blast it. Trey went aft into the nearly empty trooper compartment.
Hey, lady, mind if I sit here?
Bindi opened the ship's intercom to the auxiliary bridge. Since it was not a broadcast link, it could not be overheard by Starhook.
Six, execute these actions. Activate self-destruct. 5-minute timer. Shut down engines. Set a 1-minute timer to re-enable all escape pod functions and execute all commands that their occupants have entered since boarding. Transfer all bay controls to me. Also kill the artificial gravity. Then, one guess what your last order is.
On my way.
Their engines have shut down. Still no sign of activity from their weapons or deflectors.
Good.
Her attention mostly on the view of the crippled enemy, Evelyn nodded. Then her eyes grew wide as gouts of thruster fire heralded multiple small craft launches from the patrol vessel's hull. Her sensor officer was quick.
I mark 5, 6, 7 launches. Ball-shaped craft. They look like escape pods. Something else. Thrust emissions from the underside. Some other type of craft launching. But we don't have a visual. Incoming signal! Put it on, comm!
The view of the distant ship didn't change. This signal was voice only. Hocroft's voice.
Rather bad news, Captain. There was damage to the computer. Turns out there's no such thing as a compartmental self-destruct. So I had to activate the usual sort.
I knew it!
Evelyn's angry words were spoken in a low tone, one the bridge mic would not pick up.
Looks like we're done for. I've ordered abandoned ship, as you can see.
Evelyn caught her communications officer's eye, then made a throat-cutting gesture that meant cease transmission. When he nodded, she spoke aloud.
Launch boarding, shuttle!
Aye, aye, launching!
Tell them to steer well clear of the patrol vessel, and be ready to engage a fleeing shuttle.
With minute adjustments of his maneuvering thrusters and repulsors, Vort kept his interceptor close to the concussor's underside. The shuttle, ahead of him, was coming up to speed on its outbound course, keeping the concussor directly between it and the Starhook. Vort kept another part of his attention on his console timer. The rates were now 2.5 minutes into the self-destruct sequence. It would be very nice to be clear of the ball of explosive force the ship was about to become. Vort's hands twitched on the interceptor's yoke. There was movement on his sensor board. Something was launching from Starhook's underside. The signal suggested a shuttle similar in size to the one Bindi was piloting. The enemy shuttle vectored to pass the concussor from a safe distance to port. Starhook was accelerating now, vectoring to pass from a safe distance starboard. The corvette would accelerate more slowly than the pursuing shuttle. Delicately, Vort rotated his interceptor's nose toward port and kept his eye on the sensors. And the chrono continued its countdown. 2:15 left. 2 minutes. 1:45. As the pursuit shuttle came into view, a bare 2 kilometers off to port, Vort lined up his shot at first by sight alone. Weapon sensors would alert the target. He tracked his target, made sure his lasers were at full power. The shuttle's deflectors were up, all energy forward toward the Wraith's shuttle. Vort almost smiled. He clicked his weapon sensors on, paused only the split second it took to adjust his aim to the center of the new bracket that had appeared as a heads-up display on his forward viewport, and fired. Green bolts leapt from the leading edges of his solar collection wings and converged on the shuttle's stern. They chewed their way across its hindquarters, blackening its gray paint, carving metal debris free. The shuttle's deflectors readjusted, strengthening at the stern. The shuttle veered away from Vort, sparks erupting from its aft thrusters.
A stern shot for a stern shot. Thrusters for thrusters.
Vort didn't bother with a taunt over the comm board. He just brought his own deflectors up to full power. He hit his thrusters and vectored in the direction of the Wraith's shuttle, putting his interceptor through a series of tiny, erratically timed maneuvers designed to make life hard for the gunnery officers back on Starhook. Parallel rows of light flashed past his interceptor, bright enough to be alarming, not close enough to interact with his deflectors. The chrono clicked down to 1 minute. The Starhook shuttle stayed on its escape vector. The crew had to be evaluating the damage Vort had done, deciding whether to resume pursuing and re-engage. Every second they delayed took that decision farther out of their hands. The Wraith's shuttle was now up to speed and might have its hyperspace jump plotted. Vort began to overtake it. It grew large enough that he could distinguish it by eye, not just on his sensors. Starhook's laser pulses flashed near it too, but at this distance, the gunner's chances of success were poor. Vort received a low-strength transmission on the Wraith's frequency, voice and data encrypted and compressed. He decrypted it. Bindi's voice.
On your course. Check my math, would you?
He snorted, amused, then ran numbers through his head while absently juking and jinking to keep the distant lasers from making too easy a target of him. Then he replied,
My numbers agree with yours to 3 significant digits. Discrepancy's my fault. Rounding errors. Have a safe jump.
The shuttle ahead seemed to stretch and then was gone. Vort activated his own hyperdrive and leapt into hyperspace after it. Captain Evelyn watched the distant targets vanish. She sighed and looked to her navigator.
Plot likely destinations along their course. Prioritize for planets and stations with strong Imperial Remnant sympathies. Communications? Signal for a pickup of the escape pods. And somebody tell me what the hell this actually was all about!